إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir in the Aminat Schools Masjid in Boso local government area of Niger State, Nigeria. This Saturday, the 15th day of Ramadan, 1443 years after the Hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. We're reading Surah Al-Nisa, and we have gotten up to the 101st verse in Surah Al-Nisa, the verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about reducing the number of rak'ats in the salah. If you're on a journey, you can reduce the number of rak'at from 4 to 2, as we explained yesterday. But then he brought the condition that if you fear that the kuffar will trouble you. So we said that some people were now of the opinion that if it's not for the reason of fear that you do not do qasr, so to them there's no more qasr now, unless there's a war or there's a fear and you're on the journey and you're afraid that you might be attacked by the kuffar, then you do qasr when you pray. If not, to them there is no justification for qasr. I will say that this is not correct. This is not what our Salaf al-Saleh were on. This was not their opinion at all. From the time of the Sahaba, Umar ibn Khattab, Abdullah ibn Abbas, and the rest of them gave fatawa showing that in the time of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, they prayed even when there was no fear, when there was no war, no nothing. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself prayed when there was no war. So one of such reports is the one from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who said, Safara Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bayna Makkah wal Madina aminan la yakhafu illa Allah ta'ala fasalla rak'atayn. Said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam traveled between Makkah and Medina aminan, without any fear, when there was no war, la yakhafu illa Allah, and he had no fear of anything except Allah, fasalla rak'atayn, and then he performed rak'atayn instead of 4 rak'ats. He cut the rak'ah, the salah, to 2. Umar ibn Khattab also told a sahabi who asked him. He said, I had a doubt too, just like you are having a doubt now, that there is no fear, so why do we perform qasr? And Umar said, I also thought of the same thing. I was surprised at the same thing. The hadith is from Ya'la ibn Umayyah. Qala, قلت لعمر بن الخطاب، لعمر بن الخطاب، عسيت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه، عجبت مما عجبت. اوكي نعم. يسير عسيت عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه، انما قال الله تعالى، الله only said ان تقصروا من الصلاة ان خفتم ان يفتنكم الذين كفروا. If you are afraid that those who disbelieve might trouble you, that's when there is no harm if you perform qasr. وَقَدْ أَمِنَ النَّاسِ. But now there is no war. We are not in any fear. We are in peace. فَقَالَ عُمَرْ بِنْ خَطَّابِ. So Umar bin Khattab said to him, رضي الله عنه, عَجِبْتُ مِمَّا عَجِبْتَ مِنْهُ. The same thing that you were wondering over, I also wondered over that. فَسَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And so I asked the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, فقال, and he said, صدقة تصدق الله بها عليكم فقبلوا صدقته. That this is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you. That is, that he gave you as a sadaqah. So accept his sadaqah. Now Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam was given a command. Said, accept his sadaqah. It's a command. That's why some ulama say it's wajib that when you are traveling, you perform qasru when you want to perform zuhur or asr or isha. So, but you see, I want us to visit a problem before we continue. We're still going to continue on the mas'ala of taqsir. And the problem is, if we look at an ayah today, and a thought occurs to us, a thought that would have been possible in the time of the Sahaba. But if you are thinking of the aeroplane, for instance, it didn't exist in their time. So that will be a new thing. If you are thinking of things that will only happen in this generation. So, okay, you can wonder over that and start thinking what could the hukum be. And then start doing the ijtihad yourself, if you can. But all other thoughts that could occur to anyone, that may have occurred to the Sahaba too, it is good that always you say, the Sahaba must also have thought of that. So what did they do? Do not make it originally your own thoughts. And because you're thinking this way, you go ahead and do the hukum based on that. One, that is disregard for the Sahaba. That is disregard for Al-Qurun Al-Mufaddala, the best of the generations of Muslims. You must say that they must have done an ijtihad on this matter. So you want to find out, what did they say? What did they think? How did they think about it? Do not think that this thought is coming only from you. It's not, definitely. You see, like this matter, this person was thinking over it, not knowing that it had occurred to the Sahaba. But fortunately, he was not a jahil. He asked. He asked those who know. Because Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ أَمْ كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So he asked, and Umar told him, I also thought of the same thing. You know, and then like the woman that Aisha asked, أَحَرُورِيَةٌ أُنْتُنْ أَنْتِ. Are you a haruriya? She said, no, I'm only asking for my deen. And Aisha said, it happened in the time of Rasul, and this is what we were told to do. So you see, we should always have that at the back of our minds, that we have noble predecessors. And so each time a thing comes like that, and a thought occurs to you, throw away your thought first and say that the Sahaba must have had the same problem. They may have also acted on this. If they have thought the way I have thought, they wouldn't have done the things that were reported from them. So I accept what was reported from them and then I fault my own thinking. Because they are Al-Qurun Al-Mufaddala, so they are better than you. As far as the deen is concerned, their fiqh is better than yours, no matter how much you think you know. It's very important for us to take this into consideration, because it's going to guide the way we interpret the Quran, the way we interpret the Sunnah of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. The things we just give rulings on will be guided by the rulings from the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, the Tabi'at Tabi'in, and Atba. If not, we will go astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. If you want to be guided, follow the path of those who came close to me and were pious before you. Follow their path. That's how you be guided. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. So those who were close to Allah, the first generation will be the prophets, the messengers. Those who are closest to Allah. So you follow those ones. You don't have those ones, you follow the Sahaba. From the Sahaba, you first ask Abu Bakr, Omar, Uthman, Ali. Then you go to Abdul Rahman bin Auf. Then you go to Sa'id bin Zayd. Then you go to Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas. Then Talha ibn Ubaidillah. Then who again? Remind me of the two. Zubair ibn al-Awam. One more. Abu Ubaidah al-Jarrah. Amir. These 10. Why? Because they say, أَفْضَلُ الصَّحَابَةِ مَكَانَةً وَمَنْزِلَةً. Said, مَنْ بُشِّرُوا بِجَنَانِ. Those ones that were promised al-Jannah, they are the best of all the Sahaba. Makanatan wa manzilatan. So you want to know, first of all, what came from those best. You don't have, then you ask for others. You ask for Abdullah ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Umar, Jabir ibn Abdullah, like that. So, Malik ibn Anas, Anas bin Malik, that's the Sahabi that stayed with Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. These were the knowledgeable, these were the ones that knew a lot of ahadith. From the women, of course, the number one, Aisha radiallahu anha, and the rest. You ask, what was their opinion? What did they say about that? It's very important. And that's, when I say ask now, they are not alive. So it means you refer to the books that quote them. And you have to be sure that what you're reading is the authentic one. Be sure that you're asking for authentic ahadith. That's why the best thing to do is to ask the ulama. Those ones that follow the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, you know, and are on the path of the salaf. That's what Al-Imam Al-Akhbari advises in his book. وَأَنْ يَعْتَدِيَ بِالْعُلَمَاءِ الذين تدون بسنة محمد أو كما قال. So that you follow the ulama who are known to have followed the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So do not always give it your own thought and then act upon just your own logic or, you know, your perspectives. It's bad, and of course it leads to misguidance. May Allah guide us. So that is that. Then we go to the next ayah, the one we shall start reading today, inshallah. So the qasr we talked about is generally, if you are traveling and you want to perform salah, Allah permits you to say qasr. Whether you are in the state of fear or not, even though this ayah came about the state of fear. But then we're going to recite a verse now that will talk of Qasru in another way again, additional to this one. Naam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Min hamdihi wa nafsihi wa nafsihi. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. وإذا كنت فيهم فأقمت لهم الصلاة فلتقل الله
فإذا قضيتم الصلاة الله سبحانه وتعالى says وإذا كنت فيهم فأقمت الصلاة فأقمت لهم الصلاة فلتكن طائفة منهم معك وليأخذوا أسلحتهم فإذا سجدوا فليكونوا من ورائكم ولتأتي طائفة أخرى لم يصلوا فليصلوا معك وليأخذوا حذرهم وأسلحتهم ود الذين كفروا لو تغفلون عن أسلحتكم وأمتعتكم فيميلوا عليكم ميلا واحدا ولا جناح عليكم إن كان بكم أذى من مطر أو كنتم مرضى أن تضعوا أسلحتكم وخذوا حذركم إن الله أعد للكافرين عذابا مهينا فإذا قضيتم الصلاة فاذكروا الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبكم فإذا اطمأننتم فأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says وَإِذَا كُنْتَ فِيهِمْ فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ And if you are amongst them, you are in the midst of the Sahaba, فَأَقَمْتَ لَهُمُ الصَّلَاةِ And you establish the salah with them, along with them. That is, you lead them in salah. فَلْتَقُمْ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ مَعَكَ A party of the mu'minun should stand behind you. Not all of them, because you are in a battle now. So some will stay at the battlefield, some will come and stay with you, and you lead them in prayer. مِنْهُمْ مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا أَسْلِحَتَهُمْ And each person should carry his weapons. As they are standing behind you, they should have their weapons with them. فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ If they have performed the sujood, what does he mean by performing the sujood? If they have performed the rak'ah, there is a riwayah in Bulugh al-Maram that says man adraka sajdatan faqad adraka as-salah. That is ma'al imam. That if you get a sajda here is rak'ah. It's not just one sujood. It's rak'ah. Just like rak'ah is also used to mean salah. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ إِذْ وَصَلُّوا مَعَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ, establish the salah. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and give the zakah. But another command is coming, وَارْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and make sure you pray in salat al-jama'ah. You pray along with people who are praying. So a rak'ah is fundamental. Is the rukun of the salah. If you don't get a rak'ah, you haven't gotten the salah completely. Therefore, a rak'ah is used to represent the salah itself. So also sujood. If you do not obtain one sujood, there is problem with the salah. That rak'ah is problematic. So the sujood is also used to represent the salah because it's a rukun in the salah. Anything that is not a rukun in the salah cannot alone stand for the salah. So anything that stands for the whole of the salah automatically means it is a rukun in the salah. And that is how ruku is, that is how sujood is. What else is a rukun in the salah? Without it, the salah is incomplete. What else? Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha. What else? Takbirat Al-Ihram. What else? What did you say? Tashahud is a rukun in the salah. Once again, we haven't finished the arkan. Is it compulsory to say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah when you are finishing the salah, or can you just get up and go? The other Ramah has been telling me Taslim. I refused to respond for a reason. But he kept insisting, thinking I didn't hear. Imam Abu Hanifa was of the opinion that Taslima is not compulsory, just like Surah Al-Fatiha is also not compulsory. Yes. So Abu Hanifa, is not compulsory to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? Do you know? Inna rabbaka ya'lamu annaka taqumu adna min thuluthay al-layli wa nisfahu wa thuluthahu wa ta'ifatun min alladhina ma'ak. Wallahu yuqaddiru al-layla wa an-nahar. Alima أَلَّمْ تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. So he said, Allah said, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Whatever you can recite in the Quran, you should recite, and that will be enough. This is the madhab of Abu Hanifa. So he says, Fatiha is not compulsory. Taslima also, he said, is not compulsory. That once you have finished the tahiyya, you have finished the salah. So somebody was, a Shia wanted to discourage a king from following the madhab of the Ahlul Sunnah. So he said, the Ahlul Sunnah believe that Taslima is not compulsory. So he came to pray. He just did the ruku like this without completing the ruku. He did the sujood the way he liked. And when he came to salam, he passed the air and did not say the salam, and he got up. You know, he was trying to ridicule the madhab of the Ahl al-Sunnah because he's a Shiite. And he thinks that we are all kuffar. And so to show the king that we are all kuffar, so that the king does not accept the Ahlul Sunnah, he was doing that. But Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah replied that, you know, effectively in his book, what is it again? Minhaj al-Sunnah. In his book, Minhaj al-Sunnah, that was a response to the Shia. He did it in about 9 volumes. He was only responding to something that Shia said, and he just emptied what he, just gave a little of what he knew about the Shia, and it took him 9 volumes. That was just a run to the Shia. So, first of all, let's look at it. The madhab of Abu Hanifa, that Fatiha is not compulsory, because Allah says, فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ. Is that not a good hujjah? Allah says, recite what is easy for you to recite. Recite whatever you can. And whatever you do recite in the Quran is okay. Is it not okay? No, it's not okay. فَقْرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ is فَصَلُّوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ صَلَاتِ اللَّيْلِ. So qira'ah there is not the qira'ah of recital. It's the qira'ah of salah. Because qira'ah also is a rukun in the salah. You must do the qira'ah in the salah. Without the qira'ah, the salah is incomplete. You understand? That's why the ulama say, if you're ill and you're praying, if you cannot stand, you sit. If you can't sit, you lie on your right side. If you can't, you lie on your left side. If you can't, you lie on your back. Some ulama say, if it gets to the level that you can't even move your neck, then salah is not compulsory on you. So you just leave the salah. If you are so ill that you can't even do the imam with your neck, then the salah is no longer compulsory on you. Shaykh Muhammad bin Salih al-Uthaymeen says, no, that's not correct. As long as you can recite, then it is compulsory on you to pray. That would have been the last one that you cannot even recite. But he says, as long as you can recite, then you must recite. Whether you cannot do the imam at all, doesn't matter. Just, you know, do the takdir in your heart so that this is ruku, and then you recite what you recite in ruku. This is sujood, you recite what you recite in sujood, and it should be okay. So first of all, that ayah is not talking about qira'ah. Then secondly, there are ahadith that says, مَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَى بُفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ فَصَلَاتُهُ خِدَاجِ فَصَلَاتُهُ خِدَاجِ فَصَلَاتُهُ خِدَاجِ غَيْرُ تَمَامُ is incomplete. So these ahadith provide for us and say that Surah Al-Fatiha is compulsory. You understand? But then, here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions sujood. But when he mentions sujood, he didn't mean that if you get one sujood, then you go back. No. He said, when they have gotten a rak'ah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا, if they have performed a rak'ah with you, فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ, then they should go behind you. Some ulama say when they have performed the salah with you, because sujood could also take the whole of the salah. Wasjudu lillahi fa'budu is wasallu. So sujood can stand in place of the prayer as a whole. So they say if they have prayed with you, meaning what? That they say the whole rak'ah with you and then you still stand and wait for the others? No. This is not how the Sahaba interpreted it, so we don't take it that way. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if they perform one rak'ah with you, فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ, then they should go behind you. The ones that have not gotten the rak'ah will now come in front and then pray behind you. These ones will conclude their prayer and go to the battlefield. The others will come and then join. Like that. That's how it will be done until everybody has performed the salah, you know, behind Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. But what they do there is still qasru, two rakat. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will lead the first saf, and they will have one rakat with him, then they will go back. The other saf will come and have salah with him also, and also observe one rakat, and then they will complete theirs. These ones that go to one rakat will come and complete theirs behind. The other ones that come with him to get one rakat will also complete theirs. And then they say the salam, and everybody has gotten their prayer. So it's Salatul Qasr, even during battle. You see, this is showing the importance of salah. That even in battle, it's a matter of life and death. You're facing the enemies, you're seeing some of your brothers being killed. And it could be you next, but you are still worried about salah. Because that's what we came to this world to do. And so that's what we should worry more about. The salah. That's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was on his sickbed and was leaving wasiyah to the Muslims. He was telling them as-salatu salah. During the Hajj, of the farewell sermon in Hajj, he was telling them about salah. Everywhere as-salatu salah. As-salatu salah. Giving wasiyah of salah. Hold on to salah, because salah is all you have. But you see now, some people will say they have ilmul haqiqa, and the ilmul haqiqa teaches them that even the salah is no longer compulsory. They say what Allah says, wa'bud rabbaka hatta ya'tiyaka al-yaqin. Worship your Lord until such a time that you are now sure. That's how they interpret it. Until such a time that you are now sure that you are min ashab al-jannah. You have gotten to the daraja of wusul. Everything is Allah. From there, you now can no longer be punished. So you will now be the one to be giving people al-jannah. Nobody will give you al-jannah again. I heard one clown saying that they say that you'll be asked in the grave, ma dinuka wa man nabiyuka wa ma kaza kaza. He said, we, they that follow Shaykh Ibrahim, that a malak will come and ask them, ma dinuka, ma rabbuka, they, with all the wazifa that they have done in their lives, say is not possible. So if any angel asks them like that, they will slap him. I'm sure many of you have seen that. Huh? You haven't seen it? That video is viral. It's one clown from, he's a Ghanaian. I don't know where he's based. I think he's based in the US also. Said they will be the ones to be asked. Say la fahara. But they cannot be asked. He said all his people, hold on to Sheikh. Hold on to Inyas. If you hold on to him, nobody will dare come and ask you, Mar Rabbuka. Why? Because they are the Rabb themselves. So nobody will ask them who is the Rabb again. They have attained Hatika. They have attained Yaqeen. And so now everything is guaranteed for them. They don't have to do anything. Everything is on the platter of gold. So if they commit zina, it's not zina. You are the one that's seeing it as zina. And that's why some of them will say, have al hadith. They will say, riwayatan huwa da'if, wa kashfan huwa sahih. Subhanallah. So to them, anything goes. Anything they want, they do. Those are the ones that joke with salah. But salah, nobody jokes with it. إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ الَّذِي بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَهُمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمَنْ تَرَكَهَا فَقَدْ كَفَرَ. May Allah guide us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا سَجَدُوا فَلْيَكُونُوا مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ وَلْتَأْتِ طَائِفَةٌ أُخْرَى لَمْ يُصَلُّوا فَلْيُصَلُّوا مَعَكَ وَلْيَأْخُذُوا حِذْرَهُمْ وَأَسْلِحَتَهُمْ. So they should take all precautions. that you've been asked to come and pray does not mean that you stay where you can be killed. You have to take all precautions even before you choose the place where you go and pray. And then you also hold your weapon. What's the weapon for? In the Salat of Khawf, it can get to the level that you got to the side and you were praying with your imam, and then the kuffar just came to where you were praying. You cannot stay and keep praying there. So you continue with the prayer, you're saying Allahu Akbar and you're striking the enemy. You are fighting and you're praying. You know it's possible? You're shooting and you're praying. You say Allahu Akbar, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and then you see an enemy, bring them down, and then you continue, Allahu Akbar, Sami' Allahu liman hamida. You see, you're in battle, but you're still praying. Because of the importance of prayer to the Muslim. So you find somebody is not in battle, he's not traveling, nothing is wrong with him, he's just sitting. They'll call the adhan, do the ikama, say the salah, finish it. He doesn't feel anything in him. This person is close to kufr. His iman is almost lost. It's not possible for a mu'min. It's not possible. You know, Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib, he said, I spent 40 years of my life in Medina. I was praying behind the imam and getting the first rak'ah. I was getting even the, Takbiratul Ihram. 40 years, all the salah, I didn't miss one. In jama'ah. And I was always getting the first, the Takbiratul Ihram. That means he was in Safful Awwal for 40 years. These are the same people that will say something and you say, no, but that's not the opinion of Al-Imam Malik. That's not the opinion of Shafi'i. That's not the opinion of your Sheikh. That's not the opinion of this and that. Do you know the persons we are talking about? These people are much better than anyone that you think is your Imam. But read their history and see. They are not just anyhow people. So when you are told that this is what they did, you should freeze. You should not be arguing with such people. Because you have not seen anything they have seen. You know, all these times that he was getting the prayer, you know that sometimes it gets so cold in Medina that there is almost snow in some parts. Like in some villages, you see snow. I guess there was a year I got to Medina, even in the modern day, I got to Medina, and we went for Salatul Fajr in the mosque. After Salatul Fajr, we stayed and listened to all the ulama that were teaching. About 9 a.m. Saudi time, I wanted to come out of the mosque. I peeped out and I came back into the mosque. Because the cold outside was much worse than what was obtainable inside. But let me tell you how it is inside. There are more than 1,000 pillars in that mosque, inside the mosque. Each pillar is surrounded by very strong AC, not less than 2 horsepower. If you see what is coming out of the AC, sir, you will see. You know that it's going to be too cold. You can't keep your book there, it will be wet. There are just small, small holes through which the thing comes out. Every pillar, AC around it. People are running away from those pillars. I'm going to stay in the south, like 2-3 south behind the pillar, because it gets so cold. That's how cold the mosque was. But the outside was colder than the mosque. I preferred to come back to the mosque. That was when most people had even gone home. The mosque was still warmer than outside. And when I finally left the mosque, I ran to a coffee shop and took very hot tea that burnt my tongue, because I'm not used to that kind of hot tea. But I had to take it just to keep warm. All that wasn't enough. I had to buy a jacket. When I came back here, all the young men in this world were saying, this jacket is for them, not for me. That is for young people. You don't know what you are saying. So, as cold as it gets there, these people do not even miss Salatul Fajr in the masjid, in Jama'ah. They don't miss Fajr, they don't miss Dhuhr. And when it's hot, it can get so hot. There was a year I also went. I think that was about my second to the last trip. After then, I've not gone again. 2011. When I went for Umrah. They said, just as we landed, it reduced a little, but it was the day before, 52 degrees Celsius. And they were fasting. 52 degrees Celsius. This year that we are crying up and down that the fasting is very difficult here. How many degrees Celsius is it here? Has it gone beyond 40? 30-something or just 30-something or it got to 52 in their place. 52. And there were people that were digging holes and working with construction companies. You see them on the rock. The rock is even hotter because the stones even turn black as a result of the heat. Yet those people do not miss Dhuhr in the mosque. They do not miss meet Asr. They will be fighting battle in that kind of hot sun, and yet they are praying. May Allah forgive us. وَدَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ تَغْفُلُونَ Your enemies, the kuffar, they wish that you just, get distracted by anything and then lose your focus. عَنْ أَسْلِحَتِكُمْ And then leave your weapons, just forget them or something. Or be careless in the handling of your weapons. They wish you could be like that. If you do that, وَأَمْتِعَتِكُمْ or your properties or your personal effects. They wish you could leave all of these. فَيَمِيلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مَيْلَةً وَاحِدًا So that they attack you in one fell swoop. وَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ إِن كَانَ بِكُمْ أَذًى مِنْ مَطَرٍ أَوْ كُنْتُمْ مَرْضَى أَن تَضَعُوا أَسْلِحَتَكُمْ But then if you are wounded, if you sustain any injury, or you have a health problem one way or the other, in kana bikum adhan min matarin aw kuntum marda, there is rain and then you can't get into the rain. If you get into the rain, it will hurt you because of the kind of injury you have. Only Allah knows what it is that your problem is. You cannot cope with the cold of the rain or something. Or that you are ill in some other way. And then you can't continue with the fight and taba'u aslihatakum. Then you drop your weapons. That is, you leave the battle for somebody else to do, and then you go and take care of your health. وَخُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ But always take precautions and don't allow the enemies to just get you on a platter of gold. إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a disgracing punishment, torment for the kafirin, for the kuffar, the unbelievers. He's prepared for them all of that if they do not repent on the battlefield and even outside the battlefield. But here, since we're talking of the battle, on the battlefield, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for them a disgraceful torment. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, where is the next ayah? We have read it, we have recited it too. فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ Then if you have concluded your prayer, فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ, if you have concluded your prayer. So قَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةَ is not paying back the salah. No, it is concluding the salah. In the Sharia mostly, that is what it stands for. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Jum'ah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا نُودِيَ لِلصَّلَاةِ مِنْ يَوْمِ الْجُمْعَةِ فَاسْعَوْا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. Aha. ذَلِكُمْ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ, فَإِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةُ, when the salah has been concluded, when you have finished. That's why when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا سَمِعَ أَحَدُكُمُ الْإِقَامَةِ فَلَا تَأْتُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْعَوْنَ وَأَتُوهَا بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوِقَارِ, أو كما قال وَأَتُوهَا بِالسَّكِينَةِ وَالْوِقَارِ, فَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ, in the riwayah says فَأَتِمُّوا, in another riwayah he says فَقْضُوا, in the riwayah that he says فَقْضُوا, some people say it means payback. So you came for Dhuhr, you made two rakats only, so the first two rakats had gone, you made only two rakats of the Imam, and then if the Imam says salam now, if you get up, they say what you do is payback. So you say Fatiha and the Surah, first rakah, third rakah, fourth rakah you say Fatiha and Surah again. They say this is what faqdu means, but that is wrong. The other riwayah says for atimmu. If you were to join them, they mean the same thing. Faqdu means complete, just like إذا قضيت الصلاة, and here فَإِذَا قَضَيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ, if you have concluded your salah, يعني صلاة الخوف, أي فرغتم منها, when you have finished the salah, and this is صلاة الخوف, you have finished the salah of khawf, the one during battle, because it is the salah that is being described here, the one that you fight during battle, the one in which you get one rak'ah with the imam and you complete the other rak'ah on your own. That means you are saying qasr. You are observing it as qasr, salatul khawf. Even if you are just before your house, even if you are just at your gate, if it is a battle, you perform it as qasr. Because you are in khawf, in fear. In fear, you reduce the number of rak'ahs. Wherever you are, whether you are in your house, as long as there is a battle and you are involved, do we understand? Or you are on transit and you are in fear. So, فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ, after completing the salah, أي صلوا لله قياما في حال الصحة وقعودا في حال المرض وعلى جنوبكم عند الجرح والزمان. وقيل اذكروا الله بالتسبيح والتحميد والتهليل والتمجيد على كل حال. The first interpretation is فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ, then mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify Allah, أي صَلُّوا لِلَّهِ, pray to Allah. If you are now free and the war is gone, you are finished with the salatul khawf, continue with your salah. فِي حَالِ الصِّحَّةِ قِيَامًا, while you are standing, meaning when you are well, because when you are well and fit, you pray while standing. When you are ill, you cannot stand, you pray while sitting. If you are so ill, you cannot sit, you pray while lying down. So it says, قِيَامًا, while standing. وَقُعُودًا, while you are ill. فِي حَالِ الْمَرَضِ وَعَلَى جُنُوبِكُمْ عِنْدَ الْجَرْحِ, when you are wounded and you cannot even sit. then you lie on your right hand side or on your left hand side or on your back, whichever is possible for you. Some others say, Uzkurullah means tasbih, tahmeed, tahleel, tanzeel. You say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, and so on. Ala kulli hal, whatever condition you find yourselves in. Inshallah, we'll stop here. So we'll continue with Faizat Ma'nantum. Because I've been told since that we've run out of time. I don't want us to eat the question time. Or do we forget questions today? Huh? Okay, so we'll stop here, inshallah. We'll continue tomorrow, bi'idhnillah, if Allah makes it possible. I think I should remind you again that I say, if you are insisting that I have to be coming out to Mina for tafsir, you will bear with me if on some days I do not come. Because when I put too much pressure on my leg, sometimes it gets so painful I can't move again. So I have to get some rest and medication. So if some days I'm not able to come, just know that it's one of those things. Huh? Uh-huh. So it's not a guarantee that you see me every day. But I hope that Allah gives us the strength to come every day. This one says, can someone who has mistakenly killed someone and is supposed to pay diya, but does not have the means financially, request the family of the deceased to pardon him regarding that? Yes. Why not? Yes. Not only you, even the community will join you in begging them. If they agree, fine. And that will be better. Because you cannot give what you don't have. Have you? You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have it, you don't have it. So they wait until you have it. This one says, what is the status of ulama on taking of COVID-19 vaccines? Is it advisable to take it or not? I do not know how the vaccine is. I don't know anything bad about it. Nothing has been raised concerning the vaccine that is convincing enough. The other polio thing and all that, we have known that is because some people make their living from it, that they are not very ready to accept the discrepancies that have been pointed at concerning those vaccines. Because a lot of people make quite some money from those vaccines, so they don't want you to say anything against it. They get so mad and they bark like dogs when you say you don't trust it. But we have adequate reasons to distrust that one. This one, I do not know anything about. I don't know if anybody has discovered any discrepancy about it. Most of the time, when these vaccines come, I prefer that people look at them objectively. First of all, I agree that there is COVID. And during the lockdown, I, as much as possible, obeyed, because I know the rulings in the Sharia concerning such situations. When there are pandemics, what is the ruling? The Sharia, I know. This lockdown thing is okay, is in line with the Sharia, is something that has been applied. And so I have no problem with that. So that, to that extent, yes, I agree with it. So I agree with the usage of the mask and all that in areas that are affected. Now, is there a vaccine that can give you immunity so that with the vaccine you have some guarantee that you cannot contract the disease? It's acceptable in Islam. There's nothing wrong with it in Islam to prepare yourself against such things. So if there is, and you're sure of it, and you know that there's no risk whatsoever to your health or to your life, then why not you can take it? But you say ulama, I'm not amongst the ulama. So I will ask the ulama, inshallah. And whatever they say, if I get any response, I will tell you. This is my opinion as a fellow learner along with you. Don't take it as a fatwa. Because you said ulama, I'm not amongst the ulama at all. So, inshallah, I will ask the ulama also. You also help me ask the ulama, so that whatever we hear from them will come under shade with one another. This one says, he has seen a sister that joined the imam for Fajr prayer, but after the prayer she didn't perform the Raka'atan Fajr. He confronted her, but she said that is Nawafil and she didn't need to repeat. Can you please shed more light on this? First of all, are you also a sister? Why is it a sister that you are observing, not a brother? I'm curious. Unless the person is also a sister. If not, why should a brother be observing a sister in Salah, not a brother? May Allah forgive us. Anyway, he said the sister joined the imam for Fajr prayer. But after the prayer, she did not perform Raka'atan al-Fajr. First of all, Raka'atan al-Fajr is not compulsory. It's not compulsory. So if she did not perform it afterwards, she has not committed any sin, first of all. But she has lost a lot of reward. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Raka'at al-Fajr khayrun min ad-dunya wa ma fiha. So you don't want to lose the world and what is within, let alone that which is even better than the world and that which is within. So for nothing in the world should you lose Raka'at al-Fajr. These are raga'ib. You should not play with them, because they will help you greatly on the day of resurrection. So, but then it's not compulsory. So, but you confronted her, but she said that it's nawafil and she didn't need to repay it. Subhanallah. Nawafil are repaid. There are hadith that have shown that if you are regular at Salatul Layl, then one day you lost it, sleep overtook you, and before you knew it was Fajr, you missed it. After Salatul Fajr, when the sun has risen, in the morning, you pay it back. You perform it if you forgot or you lost it because of sleep, you perform it when you can, and inshallah ta'ala, you'll be rewarded as if you performed it in the night. So these raga'ib, they're encouraged. Don't joke with them. Don't say they are nafila and so they are, no, they are very important. And they can be paid back. It is authentic that a sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to the mosque like that, I missed the Salat al-Fajr, Raka'at al-Fajr. He met the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performing Salat al-Fajr, so he joined him. And after the Salah, he got up and was performing the Nafila. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam confronted him. Why did you do that? He said, I didn't get the Raka'at al-Fajr before. When I came to the mosque, I saw you praying. So I prayed behind you. And so I just wanted to pay back after my Salat al-Fajr. That's why I'm performing Raka'at al-Fajr now. And the Prophet did not say anything. Which means he approved of it. That you can pay back if you didn't get it at the right time. So she should have paid back. It's permissible to pay back. And this one says, is there any adhkar to be said when IBEBC brings light? Why are you disturbing yourself? Just say NEPA. IBEBC, I almost did not know what it was until I saw light. Just say NEPA. If you see light, if it's something that is delightful, something that pleases you happens, of course, what do you say? Alhamdulillah. Or you say Allahu Akbar. See something that pleases you. gives you joy. Say Allahu Akbar. The Prophet used to say that. And sometimes if something surprised him, he would also say Allahu Akbar. Or something annoyed him. So you say Alhamdulillah. You say MashaAllah. You know, like that. I won't tell you exactly this is what to say, because I do not have any hadith that says if I be EDC. So, but generally speaking, if something pleases you, this is what you say. Then if something frightens you, or something displeases you, or something terrible happens, you say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So if they interrupt the light, you can say that. If they restore it, then you say the one that shows that you are happy. So encourage your children to say that, not to say, Nepa! You know, that's what they say when they see that, Nepa! Even the ones that are learning to talk, because that's what they hear. And then when they have seen the light, they say, Shegu Nepa. That's an insult. When a child grows like that, that's the only thing he knows. Allah kiai. He says that he has heard a couple of people say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When they restore light, then the other one say, Allahu nur as-samawati wal ardi. The nur of Allah is not the light of Nepal. It's not the light of Nepal at all. So don't limit yourself to anything. Anything that you have seen in hadith that people say when something of joy happens, you just say it. Generally, I won't limit you to any zikr because I don't have any hadith that limits, that pins you down to any. But at least your condition is that you're happy. So what do Muslims say when they're happy? You say it. And this one says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Say, with the current state of the country, where bandits, terrorists, kidnappers, and more now keep an image of a Muslim as a disguise. That is long beard, garment above the ankle, and more attribute of our Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When entering an environment that is hostile towards such appearance, is it advisable to trim my beards moderately? No, don't. Don't. Instead, disabuse their minds. Their minds are abused. Disabuse their minds. Because if you trim to look modest, what you are telling them is that, yes, you also confirm that whoever keeps his beard the way the Prophet keeps is not modest. And that's what the people will get from your action. And that's not good. So remain the way you are, but tell them it's wrong to think like that. Because some of those people who take those looks are not even Muslims at all. They don't even pray. So looks are looks. The way Ojukwu kept his beard, did he ever trim it? And he left it the way it was and he died with it. They didn't make him a Muslim. And he was amongst his people in the southeast. So do not trim your own don't let anybody intimidate you. There are many of them who are also bearded. This one says, is it permissible to give or share zakatul mal with a Christian? Yes, if it's al-mu'allafatu qulubuhum, yes, you can. You're given the zakat of amal, you give to people like them to help them probably, inshallah, gradually with your good conduct, you can convince them to join Islam. It's okay. The ones you can't give are the ones that are enemies, are fighting you and so on. But if you are living in peace with them and they do not insult you and so on, you're living well with them, you assist them. If they're ill, you visit them, you buy them drugs and things like that. You can help even train their children, pay their school fees. If you're living in peace, all of these are permissible. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم అంత బర్రూహం మతుకుసుతూ ఇలైహి. So this one says, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Says, while reading the verse in Surah Al-Sajda that contains sujood, is it compulsory to go on sujood after reading the verse while on salah? No, it's not compulsory. It's not. Can the person giving out zakah, zakat al-mal, choose who he or she wants to give this zakat to? Yes, you can choose if you are choosing correctly in accordance with the provisions of the Quran and Hadith. You say, okay, you have relatives, maybe first cousins or distant cousins or uncles who are needy. But then in your immediate environment, there are also needy people, but they are not your relatives. You put your relatives first. للوالدين والأقربين وهكذا وهكذا. So you start with your parents. They are okay. You go to your in giving sadaqah generally. But this one particularly, zakat al-mal, if you have a cousin or so that is poor and he needs it, you give it to him. If you do not have any of them close to you like that, related to you, but then there are neighbors, then you give to your neighbors, the ones closest to you. You start with them before you go to the distance. That's what is encouraged. So the wife can give her husband. Because he's the closest to her. After the others. So this one says, can a pregnant woman who is not fasting observe itikaf during the last 10 days of Ramadan? I don't know. Allahu alam. Does anybody know? Shaykh, help us with fatwa. You don't want to answer? You are hiding your ilm, ko? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ يَكْتُمُونَ. So this one says, I just used an eye drop, and about 30 minutes later, I was feeling bitter taste on my throat. What is the position of my fasting? Is it the eye drop that got to your throat? Or is it the kind of thing that chloramphenicol does to one? Because I know that chloramphenicol injection, if they inject you on your butt, you will feel a bitter taste here. It's not the liquid that has come to your throat. It's, it goes through cells and all that. So the whole body is communicated and then you feel it everywhere. So that one does not harm you. But if it's the eye drop itself, the liquid that got down to your throat, then it has vitiated your fast. So I don't know. Is it possible for that to happen? Do we have any medical doctor here? Or anybody who should know that? Is there a connection between the eye and the throat? If you don't know, just say you don't know. I don't know. I don't know if there is a connection. So this one says, kindly explain how you correct your salat if you missed the second sujood in the first rak'ah. And remember when you have almost finished the second rak'ah in Fajr prayer. The second rak'ah will become your first rak'ah. The second rak'ah will become your first. When you have finished the second rak'ah, you do the third rak'ah. It's now your second rak'ah. When you say salam, you do sujood ba'da salam because you have added. Were you praying behind the imam or you were alone? That's something that this person cannot answer now. Because the person is possibly not here. Okay, if it is that you are confused, you are not sure, it's as if you left the second sujood of the first rak'ah. This is waswas. If that is the case, which one are you sure of in your heart? If it is that you have performed it, this is just from the shaitan. Go ahead with the salah. When you finish, before you do the salam, when you have finished the tahiyyah, do two sujood, qabla as-salam, and then do the salam, that's all. But if you seem to be more comfortable with the fact that you did not perform that sujood, it still was worse. So assume that, okay, even if you did not perform the sujood, you will not obey the shaitan, or you will not repeat that rak'ah. Do you understand? Assuming that you did not, then say the salam, do two tahiyyah after salam, and then do the salam again, that's all. Even if you did not do that one, these two sujood will cover that one. Because you don't want to give the shaitan leeway to now make you a madman. Every time you pray eight rak'ahs in Salatul Fajr. Because if you keep obeying the shaitan, that's what will happen. If it's regular that you're always forgetting, forget him. Do not obey him at all. But then, if it is not something you are used to, it just happened once, means you're not amongst those who are in waswas every time. Then what you do is assume that, okay, you now know, you are sure that you left the sujood, and you have left that rak'ah and gone find the other rak'ah. Continue with the salah. When you have finished the second rak'ah, make it your first. And then say the second rak'ah, say the salam, and then do sujood ba'd as-salam. This is how much I know. Any addition? We've run out of time. Okay. So we continue from number 46 tomorrow, inshallah. اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعل الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته